Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, it's 2021, y'all. MMP, we got a new show.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke dick home, poodle.
If you ain't got no money, wait. Pass.
D-L-I-N-G. M-I-O-M-G. Netflix, we coming for you. Natty.
And special guests, too.
It's Bling Empire on Reality Gaze.
I'm drinking Tito's the rest of my days.
Eating Doritos.
This show's the closest we'll get to the glamorous.
Out of that, that buffet.
Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous, glamorous. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous buffet. Oh, the glamorous.
Eddie, who are these people?
Oh, poodle. Boy, I'm so glad you asked. Oh, there's Dr. Gabe and his wife, Christine.
Jamie is the fashion queen. Kevin's got that banging bod. And Kimberly is a DJ god.
Kane's got Benji's by the tons. Anna's dad sells bombs and guns. Ain't none of these kids gotta worry about bills. And they're all in
Beverly Hills.
Oh, the glamorous. Yo, oh, the flousy, flousy. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the
and we are here live with Melly Maras.
Oh, my God. What a perfect pronunciation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, God. That's going to go to his fucking head.
We're in love.
Jesus. Oh. Y'all, we were supposed to start this conversation with Melanie like 10 minutes ago, but Poodle started talking about pronunciations and like, oh, my God.
You waylaid me.
And Melanie is like, totally, oh, that's so interesting. And now Poodle feels smart.
You know, I like that. Melanie,
thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, I am thrilled to be here. Thank you so much. Honestly, I'm honored.
Thank you. Melanie is a stand-up comic actress. Any other hyphenates?
Okay, this is
it's a truth. It's a truth room. It's a truth room, girl. It's a truth room.
Hula Hooper.
I was like, am I a stand-up comic? I would say I'm a writer and a stand-up comic. I mean, yeah, I used to do stand-up comedy. I mean, now I do Zoom comedy, which is shameful. You know, it's shameful, and I don't want people to know that about me. It's like, it feels dirty. You know what I mean? And gross.
There is a group of friends on my Facebook that does Zoom cabaret, and it makes me feel, I feel like I want to tell them to stop. But I
you
think
should.
It's their... It's their therapy, but it makes me sad every time I
see it. We have this podcast. We always talk about when we do the podcast, that's the only time we feel normal. So for them, that's probably when they feel normal.
It's still awful. I'm sorry.
I don't want to watch it.
No. Does anyone watch it? What's the viewer count on that Zoom?
Like one to five, I believe.
We were going to try a live show last fall, but that got canceled because we were also talking about my father who just came home from the hospital late. So that got canceled because of my dad. And so so Melanie is like, I'm kind of on GDD right now because she is a stand-up comic. She is a writer, but you also, you have to tell me really quickly before we jump into Bling. So you have a documentary about you, or what did I watch? What did I watch with your dad?
Okay.
It's like your dad is his own reality show in itself.
Yeah. You know, it is really interesting that you mentioned that. Okay. So my dad is from Indonesia and my mom is from Oklahoma, which I just found out Maddie is from Oklahoma.
Yeah. What, and my mom, what town in Oklahoma do we know?
Now Poodle's tuning out. He's tuning out. Because we're not talking about his opera career, his international tours of Southeast Asia. So he's not happy right now. He's not having it. But you know,
I'm in Oklahoma.
So my mom is from a little town called Haskell. Have you ever heard of
yes.
it?
Yes.
What? No, stop.
Yes, stop. I've heard of Haskell.
No. Have you been there?
I have not. I want to say, and I could be wrong. Is it like west of Oklahoma City?
It is not far from Tulsa, if you know that city.
Oh, it's in Tulsa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm from southern Oklahoma, like Ardmore near the Texas border.
Okay. I don't know that I've been to that area. My mom, born and raised in Haskell.
Have you been to Haskell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been to Haskell. And like her dad was the town drunk. He was a used car salesman. And this is not very chic, but it is what it is. As a child, I did summer in Oklahoma. Okay.
Only the best.
And we had
a landlocked state. That's great for summer.
It is. You know,
nothing better than Oklahoma summers.
We did have a residence there. I spent my summers at the Woodland Hills Mall. Now, only after moving to California did I realize Woodland Hills is in the valley of Los Angeles. Yes. And that is what Tulsa decided to name their main mall after. And it's interesting because it's like, there's all these kind of like references that only somebody from that area would know. Like I got all my clothes from Dillard's.
I worked at Dillard's.
You did?
Oh, I worked at the Clinique counter at Dillard's. My mother, I've told many stories on the podcast. My mama always used to go to and get her Liz Claiborne at Dillard's.
Oh my God.
And I'd wear her Liz Claiborne shoes.
Counter. I know the counter well. Those triangles, red, yellow, blue, whatever colors.
Yes. They're all
Little's dying inside. Look at him.
I'm horrified.
See, because my hometown, the mall in my hometown, I've said before, is named Mountain View Mall when we have no mountains.
Oklahoma's such a weird place.
Oklahoma's a weird place, isn't it?
Oklahoma is a weird and sad place. Maddie, and I know that you are there currently, and I don't wanna make you feel worse about your situation, but that is just the truth of the matter.
Hey, when as you said, I just touched my father's dick today and he can't remember my name. I don't know how it gets worse.
It doesn't.
That's extreme. I want to know that when you're in Oklahoma, Melanie, do people look at you and go, what are you? Do they just ask you, what are you?
Well, you know, I have not been there since I was a child, so I haven't been there in some time. I am remembering now. I think the last time I was there, I have an American cousin who's gay, and so I think he took me to like the one gay club in Tulsa, like the last time I was there. I shouldn't say probably. No,
I think it's called like Bronco or something like that.
Something. I mean, now I'm just thinking it's all a bit sad and dark. You know what I mean? To be a young gay living in Tulsa, having only one club to go to. I didn't have friends. You know, I had one friend who I had met when I was a young girl going to dance class. I went to Michele School of Dance.
Oh, Michele, I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you know places of that ilk. And so
Kathy Capshaw's here. Sorry.
Lord.
So like my mom would wait for me, and then there was one other mom in there who she would always talk to. And so I had one friend in Oklahoma. So it wasn't like people were really talking to me, you know? And then I had my relatives. So they knew what I was, and they accepted me.
So you summered in Oklahoma.
Good.
But you were born in Singapore, right?
I was born in Singapore, and I grew up in Indonesia. My whole family still lives in Indonesia. You know, my parents, my brothers, like all my nieces and nephews. I'm the only one who lives in the U.S. And, you know, it's a choice that's hard for them to understand, but it's hard for me to understand them at all, which is why I live here. So, yeah.
And so when you say to your family there, I'm a comic, a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
What is their response? Do they get it? Because when I say I'm a musician, even my mother goes, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, well, so I have had like some press in Indonesia because I'm like the only Indonesian American stand-up comic in the world, I guess.
Amazing.
So, you know, I mean, the thing is about Indonesia, it's kind of crazy because Indonesia is this massive, massive country, right? It's the fourth largest country in the world. It's, you know, only after the United States. And, but it's not really, we don't, it's not, it just doesn't, hadn't had like kind of the press placement that like China has had or Japan or Korea or even Vietnam.
Yeah,
there's so many things that it's like, you know, we have touch points here for in the U.S., but Indonesia's just not one of them.
Yeah.
So if an Indonesian has made any kind of little bit of a name for themselves somewhere else, it's a really big deal because there's no one else. I don't know why.
You get like ticker tape parades when...
Yeah. So I mean, okay. And also it's like stand-up comedy hasn't been around that long in Indonesia, like maybe 10 years. So it didn't exist as a, we'll call it an art form. It didn't exist as an art form when I was growing up there. Definitely my parents don't know what stand-up comedy is. They've never seen me perform. My dad doesn't care enough about me to Google me. And my mother refuses to use a computer. So I couldn't tell you their opinion on my comedy. They're like, my dad is like, he's a narcissist. So he's quite responsive to like, you know, things like press or people knowing my name. So basically like there was like this Voice of America did this news story on me a few years ago because I was in this like Laugh Factory Funniest Person in the World competition representing Indonesia, sounding like I'm from Malibu, but whatever.
I literally just imagined you were
you
in.
You sound like a Californian. You do.
Yeah,
you
do, right?
But when you say that, like representing Indonesia, all I think of because I'm so gay and I'm so Southern, I think of pageants. So I'm imagining with big hair in a bikini, but doing
and stand-up. A sash.
Oh my God, if only.
With like tacky butt on your butt so the thing doesn't go. That's what I imagined.
I wish. It was in Finland, in Helsinki, in the dead of winter. It's the suicide capital of the world. Yes. Your version sounds a lot more fun, Maddie. But anyway, so Voice of America, yeah, they did this little news story on me. And it basically what happens is like Voice of America will do a story and they sell it to literally every news outlet in Indonesia. So it's like every person in Indonesia saw this little segment on me. So then my dad was like quite pleased that I was doing stand-up comedy, whatever that is. and I have done some shows there. And I have one brother who like he's a fan. And he comes to the shows. And I have another brother, he's off. We'll say that. And he came to one of my shows and I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't think he knew what was happening. I'm not sure if he understood what I'm talking about, my material, what's funny about it. Like he's a person.
Which is odd because people talk about their family life. So you think he would know more than, I mean, at least he didn't heckle you.
Yeah, no. That would involve like fast thinking and an ability to respond.
The shade. I love it.
Yeah. Like this is my brother. Like he's a guy who at his second marriage, he had asked someone to be the, what do you call it? Man of honor? No.
Best man.
Best man. And now I'm playing Ilaria Baldwin. I'm like, how do you say it in English?
How do you say best man?
So he had asked this one friend of his to be a best man. And then the wedding came around. This man had flown in from Bangkok. lo and behold, my brother had forgotten. He had asked him to be his best man, and he had asked another guy to be the best man. And the guy from Bangkok was not happy, you know?
And then they fought, like Mortal Kombat style.
That I'd like to see. That I'd like to see. I've forgotten what the original question was. I'm sorry.
I think what let's talk about why we have you on. We haven't even talked about that. We're terrible hosts, Maddie. We brought you on to talk about the glittery garbage that is Bling Empire on Netflix.
Yes.
And we are talking about episode 6. What's your impression of the show, let's say, as a whole in one word, if you had to say?
Trash.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Is there any reason besides us asking you to watch that you would be led towards it, or do you normally like reality television, or do you find it particularly saddening to watch?
Now, I've never been a reality fan until 2020. 2020, I have reached such low points that I have turned to reality TV as entertainment, escape, information, education. So I'm new to the world of reality TV. I did start watching 90 Day Fiancé this year, and it's
delicious.
Yeah. I'm back. I'm like season 2. You know, I'm starting at the beginning.
Oh. So,
Danielle and Mahomes.
That's what we're doing
Yes, Danielle.
We do that on our Patreon. We should totally have you on for a Patreon guest episode. We can talk about it.
I just want to get married.
Oh my god, that is pitch perfect.
And Danny's
an animal be beaten.
Well, and don't you love Danny and Amy's Danny's racist father?
Oh my god. And wait, am I on season 2 or season 3? The one where like the 65-year-old guy is with the 19-year-old Filipino
girl?
That's
season 3.
Oh, you're season 3.
Oh my god.
We just started it.
Oh my god. It's literally, you're like, oh, I'm watching a crime. This is a crime. This is, where's the police? This is pedophilia. She's a child. What?
And when he has his daughter meet her, and
I actually got chills. I actually got chills of revolt.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Anyways, Mark, that's a different show. Different show. I'm leading you astray. I'm sorry.
Mark and Nikki are their names. Yeah. So,
would you have watched Bling Empire?
I had watched it actually before. I got your email, and I first this was my own personal experience. I'll just tell you about my little journey. I watched the pilot. I said, this is revolting. This is disgusting. And I won't watch any further. Then my friend Scott, gay, texts me the next day. And he says, oh my god, have you watched Bling Empire? It's amazing. I'm obsessed with Anna. I watched 4 episodes in one night. And I said, the pilot's horrible. It's horrific. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. And I watched the whole season of Emily in Paris. So that's saying a lot. And he's like, no, you got to keep watching. You got to keep watching. And then I kept watching, and I got so invested. I'm weeping in some of the episodes, weeping, weeping, weeping. My boyfriend is next to me. I don't want him to know that I'm weeping because I know he'll lose respect for me. And I just have to hold on to the shred of respect that I have left for myself and for him to have for me. So that's where I'm at. I haven't watched the whole season yet. I thought we were discussing episode 5 today, but
I'm sorry, I said 6. Oh, okay. I apologize.
I may have
watched 6 as well, but I'm not sure. They all just start to run together.
That's the problem. It's unlike a lot of other reality shows that kind of button the way. This is supposed to be watched in a binge, which is why they do that on purpose.
Totally, because it just one just streams into another, and you don't know what time it is, what day it is, who you are. You know, is the sun up or down? You know,
have you watched? A similar production company also did Selling Sunset. which is it's very glam like this, and it's very similar. All the Netflix shows are kind of the same.
I think you would adore that show because it's just
you
horrible.
Need to watch Selling
it's
Sunset.
Just horrible white women being horrible white
You'll
women.
You'll lose your mind.
Oh my god. Well, it's like I do love like this has like become a whole look, right? I'm pointing to the TV. I'm on a podcast. And I'm pointing to the TV whilst I talk to you on the podcast. This is okay, we can keep going. But it's like it's become such a whole like it's this it's like everything is so sleek and it's like there's so many drone shots and it's, I feel like so that's become the prototype now for reality shows, right?
Yep.
Lots of
drone shots and extreme color, very hyper saturated. It's almost too much. Like if you've eaten a meal and you watch one of these, you're like, I can't do this.
It does feel less reality to me. It feels too, but we grew up on like, I'm 41. Real so world. I grew up on Real World, like gritty, like basically like the way they film 90 Day Fiance on a fucking shoestring budget.
On like a flip phone.
Yes. We did a crossover with the, add to cart.
Suchin Park and Kulop.
And Suchin said that's why she can't watch 90 Day Fiance because she's like, there's never a steady shot. She's like, it just bothers me so much.
Suchin's like the professional from MTV News. She's like, as a journalist.
She ended up binging the whole thing as well. So
yeah. I forgot. I also wanted to watch it because I was supposed to last year host a show, which of course got canceled because of COVID.
Of course.
A Singaporean production. You know how obviously after Crazy Rich Asians came out, everyone was just like scrambling to be like, how can we cash in on this? You know? And so of course, one of the many like real life Crazy Rich Asian shows, this one was based out of Singapore and I was supposed to be the host, but it was basically like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Asian one. And then if you guys know this old 80s show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, where like, you know, Robin Leach is the host. Like I would be like the Robin Leach. Like, I was just supposed to like go around it was supposed to be in Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, the Philippines, and India. And I was just supposed to like meet people and be like, oh my God, is this your yacht? Nice. But the show obviously got canceled.
But that would have been such, but yeah, that would have been so good. I mean, Robin, what did he say? Caviar wishes and champagne dreams.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
So what would have been your log line if you were the host?
Yeah, mine would have to have been like shark fin soup and, you know, the emperor sake. I don't know.
Y'all, you see what you missed out?
I know. COVID, I know.
What COVID did? What
you
has
see what COVID,
COVID
did to us? What had COVID wrought?
What has COVID wrought?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And the other thing that I was really interested in is because, I mean, I have been approached before to, you know, like have a show based around me, obviously. Well, I mean, you guys saw like a little bit of footage of my dad. So, of course, anybody who sees that footage of my dad or who meets him is just like, oh my God, we've got to make a show around this family.
Lightning in a bottle. Yeah,
totally. So yeah. So I definitely, you know, was kind of like in the very beginning stages of someone approaching me and being like, oh, let's try to do a show about your family. And then it was sort of like, okay, they love your family. They love the show. Can your whole family move to the US and can we shoot it here? And I said, absolutely not. What are you talking about? And they were just like, oh, we just don't think an American audience is going to be like that interested or invested or be able to relate to this family that lives in Indonesia.
They don't know where Indonesia is.
Or so what
it is. And then cut to a show like Indian Matchmaking. Indian Matchmaking becomes a huge hit on Netflix.
Oh my God, I loved Indian Matchmaking.
But I mean, it's a huge hit here because everybody watched it. Because for us, it was this total, which is why we enjoyed, or at least parts of what I enjoy about Bling Empire is I saw Crazy Rich Asians as a movie and I was like, oh, that's a cool way. This is a funny movie. It's a fiction movie. And I guess that's a part of life over there. I did not know that happened over here, like literally in our backyard.
Right, right, right. Yeah, totally. Totally. Matchmaking is alive and well. But yeah, and then the other show, when it was kind of like, okay, the family's not going to move for the other show, they were like, okay, well, what about, you know, because it was kind of like, it was really interesting to watch how the, you know, the director producer kind of tries to shape what the show is and like what the cast is. He's like, well, what are like your different groups of friends? So it was basically like, what are you, and make sure that they're all good looking, you know? So like, I had to come up with like different ideas. And one idea was like, well, here's like my sexy Christian friends, you know? And then the other one was like, here's my Asian American comic friends. And so that was the one that they kind of decided to like push forward with. And then of course, like that didn't go anywhere either. But anyway, so yeah, so it's interesting to kind of like, be like, oh, how do these shows come about? Because obviously these people are not friends, you know?
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can actually tell you, Suchin did so much. Suchin Pug did so much research for us. She's like, She's a real journalist. She did more Googling than we did about the show.
Yeah.
And Suchin said, actually, this was Christine and Anna brought this to a producer about 2 or 3 years ago. Because it was filmed in 2019. That's why there's no COVID masks or anything like that.
Right, right.
It was the year of the pig. And it was all.
Did you just call me fat?
You know, if the school desk fits, honey.
The school desk fits? Does that make sense?
That is a reference to the pig being the valedictorian of his class that I always say.
Because Oklahoma education is horrible. Or it was when I was a kid. It's better now. Teachers there actually really work their ass off.
But so Christine and Anna actually brought this to a producer. And so they made it so they have this kind of rivalry. Even though Christine comes off extremely awful and petty, and Anna comes off as a fucking queen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume that was a story that the producers wanted to tell. But you can just tell. And they kind of found Kevin later, and they decided rightly that he was going to be kind of the viewer's in for the show. Like he was the kind of LC from the hills. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of found other people who may or may not be friends with them to hang out on a beach together.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's very natural, those scenes on the beach. It's obvious that none of them have ever hung out on a beach before, except for Kevin. You know, like when they do the piggyback races, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's not really deftly done. It's the real stories. Like, what did you think about, first of all, I'm sure you did, like for all of us, when Kelly and Andrew first interacted in Paris, when he started screaming at her, everyone went, oh my God, this is an abuser. How are we going to react to this? The show better have something to say about this. And they did not.
Yeah, I mean, just even thinking about it actually makes me so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I wish I had done more research on the show before we came to chat today. I just like quickly went on IMDb Pro. And then, you know, when you start to go down the rabbit hole and you're like, I want to keep going down the rabbit hole. And then I was like, it's 3 o'clock. I got to get on the Zoom. Anyways, but so Kelly's like a legitimate producer and she has like a legitimate production company. They've done real projects and I mean, she's a producer on the show. So I am really curious how all of that came together, but it is literally I want to like watching Andrew and Kelly interact. I want to rip my skin off my body. Like you want to just climb through the screen and grab her and pull her out. I mean, it is so absolutely horrific. I hope someone just beats the shit out of him, which somebody will, hopefully, God willing, you know, knock on wood.
It was so hard to watch. And the worst thing about it, and this is when our conversation with Kulap and Suchin was going this way. So far, there has been no consequences for his actions. There has been no producer or even like a thing at the end saying, if you think you might be a victim of domestic violence, call this hotline. They could have done that the first episode with the therapist, but they chose not to. So it feels really irresponsible on the part of the production.
Now, do you think that the production didn't even register that, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look at the show that we're watching.
You know, you're right.
Yeah. I mean,
I would guess that it didn't even register for them. Like, this is an abusive relationship. And
I mean, Kevin's asking Kelly out on a date wearing a leather harness. I don't know if this would be defined as safe spaces.
Exactly. Amazing point. Perfect.
Isn't it but funny yeah. though how that the friends are always like, we don't like Drew. And they're like, why? And she's like, why? He's not a bad guy. And basically we want one girl in the back to go, he's an abuser.
Oh my God,
no one ever says anything.
No one does.
I don't think that they know. I mean, everyone is just like out to lunch. You know what I mean? Like everyone is completely out to lunch. I don't think it has registered for the cast members, the crew members, the producers. You know, I just don't think that they are paying attention, which is interesting because it's actually really easy to miss, right? Like for yourself, if you're in an abusive relationship, and also for people, I mean, and she also keeps saying like, we've been together for a really long time. I'm like, how long have they been together? Do we have any idea?
We don't do research, remember?
That would have taken a Google.
That would have taken a Google. I'm just going to ballpark guess and say 2 years.
I think nothing.
Yeah. I mean, she keeps saying we've been together a really long time, but there's something about them that I'm like, I don't think you have been together a really long time. Because there's a sense of like, you don't actually know each other at all. And he is, something is very wrong with him. And I think it's clear when you see him, interacting with other human beings on screen that he is not right. Like he is just not right.
Yeah. And he's outside in the midst of that therapy session, like outside praying.
Oh my God.
Begging God.
He gets down on his knees. He buries his face in the seat. I mean, and it's just like, this isn't, if I had to guess, I would guess that he was very badly abused as a child.
At the very least.
And obviously, like, there's just, like, a lot of kind of religious beliefs that he has wrapped around this abuse, I think. And he thinks he can just, like, pray his way out of anything. It's really, and the thing is like, I really like Kelly a lot. You know what I mean? You know, when you sometimes you're like, oh, we would be friends.
Is that who you'd be friends with on the show? Kelly, you think more than anybody?
Well, Kelly and Cherie, she's my kind of person.
She's great.
She's my kind of people.
I kind of love her. She's naive as fuck, but I still kind of love her. She's got a good redemption arc, especially in the if you keep watching, she's got a good redemption arc. Like this last episode when she thinks that her baby, spoiler alert, is her reincarnated mother.
I loved it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
our friend Dawn thought that about her dog, that her dog was Miss Ellie, was her grandma.
Oh. Yeah, so. I know Miss Ellie.
Yeah. Well, she's dead
Poor
now.
Miss Ellie. Yeah. She has recently moved on to cross the rainbow bridge.
She has crossed the rainbow bridge.
So, and she judged it as she walked across it.
She's like, this bridge is basic.
This is what I died for, a rainbow.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Rainbow, now, what, when you watch this show, or maybe it's from this episode, what was the one of the moments where you're like, I love this and I hate myself for loving this?
Okay, let me now. This wasn't the episode where she thinks the baby is the grandma incarnate.
No, it wasn't. It could be the show. It could be the show. This is where they go to the 50 Shades of Grey party, party. They have the birthday party for Kevin in the beginning. This is also the private investigator, Jake Schmidt. We get to meet him.
My favorite part was the private investigator. I have a real fascination with private investigators. It's so interesting because it's one of those jobs that it's very sexy on screen, right? Or there's something like a bit mysterious about it. And in real life, I don't know what wrong turns you have to take in your life to become a PI.
Criminal records, usually.
Yeah. I just had so many questions. You know, I mean, that man, his face, his facial hair, his Crocodile Dundee safari suit. There was also, where were they? You know what I mean? Like, I saw that they.
I was wondering that too.
I think it was like Westchester or something.
No, it seemed like this was like an empty building in Glendale.
It was because, you know, like part of the fun of watching a show that's filmed in LA, right, is you're like, there's my coffee shop, like there's my street, like, oh, they're over here now, over there. And I'm like, they're driving down these streets. I said, I don't know what these streets are.
We were shown, like, is that downtown? No, it's not downtown.
And then they walk into a building and it's a college building. But the name of the college is blocked out because they don't want you to know. So this guy, I think, works at a college. I don't know if he's a receptionist there. I don't know if he's a lecturer. I don't know what his position is. I guess I could Google him. This is a running theme. Who cares enough?
Who has time? Who has the time?
who has the time to Google? You know?
Did you enjoy his just for men beard?
Yes,
that didn't match his hair.
Is it a beard dye is a thing, right? Like he dyed
it. Oh, darling. If I don't dye mine, a couple of days. But if I don't just for men mine, I look like. I was like half the king of the north. It's like all white.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, I look like
it's a thing. It's definitely.
I didn't know. I didn't really know that.
Poodle and I do ours a little more natural. I will say Jake Schmidt is quite severe, and I just Googled where he is, and it all makes sense. Studio City.
Makes sense.
Interesting.
And again, I think you can email him at jake@spireforhire4.net. It is a .net.
It's not an AOL.
Probably spy for spy.
That is. I mean, Kim to me, I can't figure Kim out. You know, and
same.
I did. My best friend in Singapore, I WhatsApped her. I said, "Are you watching this show?" She said, "Absolutely not." I said, have you heard of these characters who are allegedly well-known in Singapore, right? Like, you know, Kane is like, oh, my family is very well-known in Singapore. Doesn't he say like they're always on the cover of magazines, whatever? I said, have you heard of him? She said, never. and then I said, okay, well, what about this DJ, Kim Lee? He says that she's like the Calvin Harris of Asia. And she's like, never heard of her. No, I mean, to be fair, you know, my friend does have like two young children. She's not exactly like, you know, doing shots off of the bar, but it's like she was like a party girl. And it's like she has lived in Singapore for decades. And so I do think if someone was like the Calvin Harris of Southeast Asia, she would have at least recognized the name. It's like, I don't go to Vegas, but I know who Calvin Harris is.
I think they're hyping them up quite a bit.
I believe so. And also it's really interesting because I'm not doubting Kane's like level of wealth, but he lives in a pretty modest place in West Hollywood.
I will say I will say that it's kind of modest. He does have an entire wall of shoes. So he does.
This is the thing, though. That for me was like the real tip off. First of all, it's like when I saw how close the kitchen was to the living room, I said, oh, no, no. But then it's like the fact that it's like the wall of shoes is in the living room. Like a person who has actual wealth has a room for the shoes.
Or like they at Anna.
The,
yeah.
At the
Anna,
very Anna least, they actual. Have, you know, an immense walk-in closet for the shoes. Like to display your shoes in your living room suggests that you don't have another place to put them. You know,
that is, you're right.
You have nailed it because Anna is the one who we think definitely has money.
Oh, she does for sure. Yeah.
Because it comes from, and the way she even approaches money is very different. She's like, you need, these are just things. I can buy these things because I want them. And Anna has the boss move of showing her titties on camera in episode 2 and not even giving a shit.
Not even giving a shit.
Meanwhile, and Christine's trying to buy every Chinese baby she can just to impress people.
I mean, Anna's breasts, let's talk about them. First of all, those are naturals. Those are natural. And she has to be in her 60s, right?
We thought they looked nice.
She is 60, I believe.
Yeah. They look amazing. Like, I have seen 30-year-old titties that have never looked that good. So, now, I mean, listen, there are, of course, things you can do that are not, you know, implants. Like, you know, you can get, like, a lift or whatever. But still, those titties look good.
Yeah, they're not, like, they're not overly stuffed.
I still kind of think she wants to fuck Kevin.
And she should.
I would fuck Kevin.
So you know how they always have like all of these like contrived party scenes,
yes.
You know, and the thing for me that I'm like, that is the most fake about the whole show is that every party these people go to, there's a jazz band. It's like, have you ever in your years of Los Angeles been to a party where a jazz band is playing? I'm like, where did they even find these members of the jazz band?
That is 100% true. Usually it's some like hipster DJ who's a friend who's just trying their best. I have rarely seen a big band or a jazz band at any event. You are correct. That is some coordinator for the show who says, yeah. I love a jazz band at an event.
Yeah. They're like, you know what says rich? You know what says class? A jazz band.
an upright bass.
But yeah. True. Oh, and also it's like, okay, so Anna, I mean, because when I first saw her, I said, she has had so much work done that like her race is indiscernible. You could tell me she was literally anything. I'd be like, yeah, I would believe that.
Yeah.
And I realized, I was like, what does she look like? She isn't. Finally, I was like, it's Miss Piggy.
A little.
She looks like she's Miss Piggy.
Her features.
She looks like a Muppet to me.
Yeah, she's quite Muppet-like.
She does look like if like Miss Piggy and Janet from Electric Teeth scissored and had a baby.
Janice.
Yes. You know, Janice is the one with long hair.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
The blonde.
Yes.
Because she kind of talks like Janice.
So, oh, my God. Yes, she
kind of talks like her. So I really get the most, you know, kind of like Miss Piggy Poodle said, she's kind of ageless. Like you could kind of, he said, I would believe it if she told me she was 40 or she told me she was 70. I kind of would believe it all.
Oh, totally.
She only whispers when she talks. So you have to lean into her.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She's the queen. I'll give it to her. She's the queen.
Totally. 100%. What else? I mean, this was the scene where it's the shaman at the bonfire. There's a lot of scenes There's a lot of scenes at the beach. I think they also thought like, this is what life in LA is. People hang out at the beach. I'm like, I don't know.
Megalaga, hi, I'm downloading your files to my directory. It was so weird.
But I mean, the best part of it, though, is that it's like, you know, Kelly, she's weeping. She's having this very, you know, kind of intense experience. And the whole time, little Mr. Kevin is over there. He's just stuffing s'mores in his mouth. He's got every shot. He's got fucking crumbs around his mouth. At one point, she's literally weeping. The shaman is speaking in tongues. And Kevin's like licking his fingers. He's like,
that's so true.
I was like,
how is that? Maybe because I'll...
I want s'mores.
He tries the best he can to be on camera talent. He will never, he doesn't have the chill for it.
Yeah, I mean, and, well, it's so funny because I just looked him up on IMDb, you know, and then I saw that he has the same commercial agent as me, Rick Ferrario, Buchwald. I noticed that they don't represent him in any other departments. But so I immediately emailed Rick. I said, Rick, have you seen this Bling Empire? I see that Kevin is your client. And he says, no, I haven't. Why are you on it? And I was like, no.
That is where's my 10%?
That is the yeah. most agent thing to say.
Are you on it? You didn't tell me.
Yeah. I don't know that we got that check for you, Melanie. but it's interesting because it's like, you know, they have Kevin really playing like kind of like this, like, you know, puppy dog, like wide-eyed, whatever.
Every man, yeah.
It's pretty like disingenuous, right? Because it's like Kevin knows kind of all of these like movers and shakers. Like, remember there's the one, is it episode 2 where he has the dinner party at like Keith, what's that guy's name? Keith Ferrazzi's house.
Yeah. You know, it's like a team leader or something like that.
Yeah. And also it's like, you know, Shaman Durek is also kind of like in this whole world of like, you know, how it's all like entrepreneurial coaches, you know,
yes.
And it's all of like these very kind of like alpha guys who are into like meditating and they make millions and millions of dollars and they're all friends.
Like, but it has to be called like manitating. So that way it sounds like a totally, dude thing.
Totally.
And you're they all reading do, like, him, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what I mean? And it's like, they're all really into, like, Wim Hof breathing. You know what I'm saying? They all go to, like, Poland and Russia, and they, like, put themselves in ice baths, and they all are, like, really into, like, bulletproof coffee and, like, you know, being an optimal human. And they all, like, they all know each other. You know what I mean? They all go on these fucking, like, man retreats together where they all fucking, like, cry and eat vegan food. But, you know, and I did pop on over to Kevin's website, and he's a coach, you know, so he's definitely in that world. So to sort of paint this picture of him being like, oh, I've never been around money before, I think is really not correct.
I think he's a good actor. I think he's a decent actor. I do.
Because he even
also says, maybe somebody online was talking about this, but he talks about like being the only Asian kid in Philadelphia. And unless he grew up on like the outskirts of Philadelphia, like I've been to Philadelphia, like it. And a lot of our Asian sissies are like, there's a lot of Asian people in Philadelphia. Like it's one of the most diverse cities in the country.
Or did he grow up like, you know,
we don't know
how they have like the one of those like Amish towns in Pennsylvania.
No, I mean,
like covered wagons.
This is true.
Cause he would definitely be an outsider. In an Amish county, I'll say that.
What'd you think of his dirty mom when she got some champagne in her?
Oh, I love the mom. I love the mom.
Yeah. Great.
I really like the mom. It is interesting how they mouth kiss.
Yeah, not a fan.
His mom. Do you mouth kiss your mothers?
No, I don't.
No, but sometimes
he has a weird relationship with his mom. You're asking the wrong person.
No, we know. Usually after I breastfeed, I just kiss her cheek. So that's usually more what we do.
Just a soft butterfly kiss after breastfeeding.
My father actually sometimes will give me a mouth kiss. That makes me sad right now because today he doesn't remember my name and he's pissed at me because I won't let him walk around naked in the front yard in the rain.
Oh, boy.
Literally, he was at the front door like, I'm going to go get the boat. And I'm like, Dad, you're naked. It's 45 degrees. It's raining.
Can we move on from your naked father? Not that I don't want to talk about
it. The thing is that Poodle and Maddie want to do two very different podcasts, you know?
Yes!
Maddie wants to do the hospice end of life podcast. And Poodle wants to do the Poodle Show.
I do. Thank you.
So this is something I noticed about Kane, which is really interesting, is that, you know, Kane kind of just only serves to further everyone else's storyline.
Totally.
Like, if you think about it, it's like, we don't know anything about Kane. Yeah. We don't know anything about his personal relationships. We don't know anything about, like, his aspirations, his job, if he has a job. And it's like whenever there's scenes with Kane, it's always him basically playing therapist to the other character and kind of like asking their feelings, or he's educating them about something, right? Yeah. Like he's educating Kevin on how to be an Asian, or he's educating Shuri on like, you know, like Buddhist rights.
Buddhism.
So it is interesting because I'm like, oh, Kane is really kind of hiding behind this thing, or has the show shaped him into that role? I wonder.
I think he's production tool. Definitely. I think you're exactly right. Because I even said that on episode 2 or maybe 3. I said, I don't know anything about Kane.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know we want to know more. Right now. I know tons about Kelly. I know tons now about Christine's backstory. Everyone's been made a human except for Kane to me.
And Jamie. Jamie's just a walking hanger.
Jamie, there's just nothing there. There's just nothing there. I mean, that is... I forgot to look at her Instagram because in the beach scene, she's like, I don't like the water, but I just get pictures for Instagram.
Yep.
I was like, who is she? What is she? And then also it's really interesting because the little Filipino nurse who's in every scene of this episode almost doesn't even get a name title.
No, nothing.
So I am like, who did he not make the cut? Who is he? He's desperate to be on camera. You know what I mean? Anytime that he's like total, like all teeth smiling in every shot in case he like makes his way onto camera. Not even a name. The one guy who's in the one scene on the beach, Adrian, Jamie's friend.
Yeah.
Small Filipino nurse. Nothing.
That's right. This show is racist against Filipinos.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. But I mean, you guys do know that Asians are racist against Filipinos, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's well, like I had a friend of mine who's Chinese said we were talking about racism once in the U.S. against Chinese people. And he said, you think it's bad? He's like, you should go to Asia. It's the most racist place in the world against all other Asians. He's like, we hate Koreans. We hate the Japanese. They hate us. And everyone hates Filipinos.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Now, have you guys heard of Dr. Chu before this show? Like, is he a famous plastic surgeon?
I think they're trying to make him one. And I think his wealth is probably inflated as well.
I think dynastic.
Yeah, he is. He is an emperor.
But you know how does that translate into today's world? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My father is royalty in Indonesia, but there's literally absolutely no monetary component to that.
No.
I'm not pretending to know anything about a dynastic family in China. I have no experience with that. So perhaps there is some heirloom jewelry or something that's handed down, but
yeah. I don't know if there's any wealth. I don't know if there's any.
My great grandpa Marr was one of the first generals killed in the Civil War on the Confederate side, and I got shit.
I'm appalled. So,
but you know what's interesting about Christine is, and I don't know if later in the season we kind of learn more about her backstory, but for me, Christine, I'm like, she for sure grew up like.
Yep.
In like Fresno or like Sacramento or something, and like
was religious like parents.
San Jose,
yeah, and was like a real estate agent for like Keller Williams, and then happened to meet Dr. Gabe and was like, "This is my cash cow. I'm riding him into the sunset." You know,
you never know. We recorded. Oh shit! Well, we did a binge on Love Is Blind on Netflix.
It's
okay. Now that's the show that sucked me into reality TV.
It's so good.
So do you know like? Gianna.
We don't know when, but it's coming back.
It is coming back. Gianna, you know?
Gigi.
She was a blonde.
Like, but her name was like Giannina Giabelli.
Yeah.
She's the crazy one with Damien.
Yeah.
This is total tea. I don't think I've ever told this. This is a Gatreon exclusive. But, you know, she talked about she was like a businesswoman. She owned her own business. And even Poodle said on our show, she was like, I bet she runs like a really big store and makes like a lot of money.
No, I said, I bet she owned like her own boutique.
But you were like, she's a good businesswoman. You did go on and on about her businesswoman skills.
I did.
And then I talked to my friend who worked in casting, said she worked in a mall kiosk selling hair straighteners.
No, stop. Yes. Stop. No.
But now, can't you see it? Because she's fucking nuts. Even though I love her, but she's just too cuckoo for the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
First of all, you know what? I love that. That is the hottest tea. Pour it all over me. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you. I often think of her quote towards the end of the season where she was like, you know, when obviously she gets jilted at the altar, right?
Yeah.
And she, and it's like her, you know, video confessional, and she's like, I'm like the phoenix rising from the ashes, you know, but it's like the way she says it, it's just so priceless. Though it's the way someone who works at a mall kiosk would say it.
Yeah.
She should have been a telenovela actress. It was that 100%. Kind of style. Yeah. So we could talk all day, but okay. I want to like talk about just one more thing about what about when you look at these women, obviously there's been a lot, and men actually, Kane's cheek implants. We were talking to Suchin and about especially the idea of female beauty, you know, with the eyes, they'll often have eye surgery.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on, is it Asian women trying to look more Western, especially with Christine's makeup? And
okay. Well, yeah, no, it is interesting because there is just so much work on screen, you know, it's almost like, hard to look at the screen. It's like in between Andrew's abuse and you know,
awful.
Anna's face. It's just all it's a bit much. And Kane's face, it's like it looks like his face is filled almost to the point of bursting. It's too like much.
Someone squeezed the lower part of his face and it just stuck up to this part.
He's about to be on Dr. Pimple Popper and she's just gonna like pop his cheek.
Yeah, and it's just all going to shoot out. Okay, that's revolting. Sorry. But yeah, no, I mean, and like, you know, I think that, you know, Kelly's sort of like the most natural looking beauty to me personally. So it is interesting to see how different she looks from the people who have had work done. Christine, you know, she is just trying to mold herself into, I mean, she's got a terrible eating disorder, first of all, it looks like. And I mean, I also just think it is hard to be married to a plastic surgeon. I think that is pretty international. I mean, especially for LA. I just think that's an impossible standard of beauty. You know, it's like plastic
surgery.
She seems
like the type that would get jealous. She seems like the type that having beautiful women come into his office and him making them more quote unquote beautiful, I feel like would bother her.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. And I think that she's the kind of woman who at like 80 is going to still be like, what else can you do to me? You know?
Yeah.
And then also it's like Kim, you know, Kim obviously looks so much like Kendall Jenner. Right. And it's interesting because it's like, I remember like moving to LA from New York and being so astounded how like everyone had at that point had already been like Kardashianized. So it was like, you would go into a restaurant and everyone would look the same regardless of race because everyone would just get the same work done. And for me, Kim just has that face of like every girl in LA has had that face done. And for me, like, that's just like a little bit sad. She's probably like naturally like quite beautiful. And I mean, yeah. Okay. So Asian standards of beauty, obviously best plastic surgery in the world is Korea. My plan for myself personally, what I would like to do is I would like to, first of all, I need someone to make a huge dump in my bank account. That's number one. Number two is I get on a plane and I go to Korea. And so it's basically like, there's all these like concierge services that will book not only all of your, you know, surgeries and whatnot for you. They also, I mean, it's like they book your driver, they book everything because obviously there is a language barrier. There's like these kind of like hotel hospitals that are like specifically for plastic surgery patients. And it's like, yeah, it's like, so this business of like, of concierge services is like a really, really big business because everybody wants to go to Korea. I personally love to go to Korea. Love to just get a full head to toe makeover. And I'd like to come out looking like a member of Blackpink. I want to be like unrecognizable.
Oh yeah. Those girls.
And then just like come back out in the world and people be like, oh, you look different. I'm like, well, it's been quarantine. You haven't seen me. So I've changed, you know,
my skincare routine's changed.
Yeah. I've been drinking a lot of water. I stopped drinking. So, no, but I have one girlfriend who did go with her mother to get plastic surgery in Korea. And the mom was like, you know, I need to get my eyes done because my eyelids are drooping so much I can't read the Bible. So.
Wow.
That is the best excuse for plastic surgery,
you know what?
I've never heard.
My father had his eyes done because they drooped so low he couldn't see. The light couldn't get in his eyes.
Oh my God. I'm finding out. I'm just learning so much about your dad, Maddie.
My mom had it, could have waited, but she had hers done early.
And I will say it's like that kind of like look that's very popular in Asia. I don't know. I would say that it's a doll look. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And I would say you more so than a Western standard of beauty, because I don't know that in the West we have this doll look that we are really going for. I think it's more like a Kardashian look here, whereas there it's so specific. And it really is to look like a doll. You know, like even girls wear like doll eye contacts. I was actually going to look for my doll eye contacts to wear for you today, but
okay,
I can't.
Cherie wears contacts, right? That make her eyes look bigger, right? Or are her eyes just huge?
Are her irises that big? Cherie's, they're so big.
It's probably the doll eye contacts, because it's like you can get doll eye contacts where it's just like your irises look bigger. Yeah. And I have those. I love them. but you can also get doll eye contacts where it covers your whole, so that the iris is like your whole eye. Like, you know what I mean? And I've gone to like a party in Indonesia before where like a girl was wearing the doll eyed ones where it's just so like the whole part of the, I don't know, the colored part of your eye is just black. And I was literally like, I was like, oh, I'm talking to Satan. I must leave. It's so terrifying in person.
Just to wind up, do you think, is this a show, obviously this is not the kind of representation for you as an Asian American you would want, but what do you, is this a misfire? Is this any kind of plus? Is any representation good representation? What do you think about, how far do we have to go?
You know, I don't really look at the show as a representation of Asian Americans. I look at it more as, there's kind of like this sweeping genre of reality TV that's just wealth, right? And yeah. It's just kind of like it is fictional, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because so much of it is sort of like you know, heightened, or you know, we don't really like, you know, so many times it's like people will like rent a house just for the filming of the show that they don't live in. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, or they'll be renting whatever car they're driving. So it is a lot of like smoke and mirrors, but it's like, yeah, I don't really look at it as being an Asian American show. I just look at it like, oh, this is just like another reality show about wealth. I wouldn't distinguish this in between like any of the Real Housewives shows or, you know, it sounds like Selling Sunset or, what was the one, the Shaws of Sunset?
Yeah.
Or,
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's just all for me, the same genre. It's just like
wealth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wealth and people being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Melanie, thank
clearly
you
we could talk
so
for a long time.
You're fucking hysterical. Y'all, Melanie, tell us where we can find you and tell us what you got going on. Pimp your shit.
Okay, my address is. No, come find me online. Please don't find me in real life. You can find me everywhere at Trouble Jones on Instagram and on Twitter. Please follow me there. My website is melaniemaras.com. You can learn about everything that I have coming up. And there is a lot. So follow me and stay tuned.
Where can people see your stand-up special?
Oh, on Tubi.
Tubi, which I just found out is a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, you're not the only one. But anyway, so yeah, Tubi free. It's totally free. And it's in it. You can either watch it straight on your laptop, or it's an app that will be on your Roku or your Apple TV. And my special is called Brash Girls Club, and I'm episode 2. You don't need to watch the other episodes. You just need to watch me.
There you go. It's really funny. I watched at least 20 minutes, which says more about me than anybody else.
Melanie, thank you.
Thank you so much
for being here. This was, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Your joy.
You've
made a friend.
I feel so much less alone. Thank you so much.
Oh, the glamorous. Yo, how can I get Kevin to fuck me anytime I want? Kevin, boom, boom. I want to beg for it day and night.
Kevin.
Oh, wow, 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 wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah.
Yeah. Gonna get it done, Kevin. Get in here. That's what daddy wants.
Thank you.
mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.